The reading this morning is taken from the New Testament, from Luke, chapter 10, and reading from verse 25. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in laws replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Amen. May God bless this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Fraser. Let's just pray. Lord, help us to understand your word to us, and help us to be challenged and encouraged by it. Lead us in your will, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. During the last 2 services, which have been led by the band and by Will Buchan, we've been thinking about the challenges facing the Church of Scotland and indeed across the West. As we are aware, our congregation here in Kemeny and our group of churches are very much involved in this challenge. Yet Will reminded us that God will build his church despite all that opposes us and all those challenges. He will build his kingdom in Britain and across the world. And the band reminded us that God will use us to achieve his purposes, using gifts and abilities that he has given us in the power provided by the Holy Spirit. This is God's purpose, and it will not be thwarted. As today is Christian Aid Sunday, this morning I wish to continue the themes that they brought to us and extend them further as to how we can play a small part in God's desire to build his kingdom across the world. The work of Christian Aid is very much to do with challenging the injustices and the impacts of poverty in many countries. And it works to bring God's love and hope in practical ways to suffering communities in many countries in ways that we can't do personally. I chose to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan to focus our thinking on this theme. It is a very familiar story, but one that is worth coming back to, as it teaches us a great deal about real love for God and for one another, whether those around us or those much further afield. It is very relevant to Christian Aid Week. So let's have a look at the story. First of all, who takes part in the story? The text tells us that in addition to Jesus, the main protagonist is an expert in the law. He's an expert. So what does the adjective "an expert in the law" tell us about the man? Well, clearly he was a man who studied the law in all its details, and he studied it from the scriptures. He'd probably done this over many years, and over this period he would have fully considered the Ten Commandments and all the ceremonial and moral laws that are laid out in the various books of the Hebrew Bible. Not only would he have been able to recount them all, but as an expert, he would have considered and discussed their meanings and how they should be applied in everyday life. So he was an expert. So why did he approach Jesus? Well, we're told from the text that he wanted to test Jesus. Now, we actually don't know if he was motivated by an open-minded desire to find out if Jesus was genuine, or if he was wanted to try to prove that he was a charlatan. We just don't know the motives. As an expert, though, he would have been the right sort of person to test Jesus. Would Jesus measure up to his own high standards of expertise? Whatever the motive behind it, he had the expertise to judge what Jesus said in response. So in order to test Jesus, he approached him and asked the following question. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, first of all, note that the expert addresses Jesus as teacher. And given what follows, I think the expert's use of this title shows that he recognized that Jesus is followed by many because of his teachings. So he called him a teacher. He didn't necessarily think that he was an expert on the par with himself who could teach him anything, but he recognized that he was a teacher. So he wanted to test Jesus to see if he really was a teacher worthy of the title. So what do we make of his question? What must I do to inherit eternal life? This question goes to the heart of the Judaic faith for the majority of the Jews at the time, their belief in eternal life. There were a few, the Sadducees, who didn't believe in eternal life, but the rest of the Jews did. It's a good question because it's an open question with much scope for Jesus to get tripped up or give a satisfying answer. As I said, we don't know the motive behind the testing. I like the way that Jesus responds. In his wisdom, Jesus answers the question with a question. What is written in the law? How do you read it? So he's turned the tables. He's asking the expert, how do you read the law? Well, as an expert, he could have gone into a very elaborate answer to demonstrate his knowledge. He could have really showed off, couldn't he? But instead, he goes to the fundamentals of the law and his answer, and this was something that Will highlighted last week again, was that love your Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. And what do you make of this answer? And what does it reveal about the expert? Well, Jesus said, you've answered correctly. So clearly it was an excellent answer and reveals that this expert was not just a legalistic expert in the details of the law, but understood that all the laws in all their details were there to support two fundamental purposes. The laws weren't an end in themselves, they were there for a purpose, to show love and reverence to the Lord and to those around us, our neighbours. I think this answer shows a measure of genuine faith in the Lord on the part of this expert. So Jesus did reply, you have answered correctly, do this and you will live. So Jesus had turned the table. He had turned the tables and given his approval to the expert. I don't think the expert expected that, do you? But the expert did recognize the change in the balance of authority, and we are told that he tried to justify himself. It was an uncomfortable place for him to be, suddenly the one who was speaking to somebody with more authority. So his follow-up question appears to be a very clever one, the sort that only a real expert could have thought of asking. Aha, so who is my neighbour? So what does this question imply on the mind of the expert? Well, it implies that there are neighbours who we should love as ourselves and other people who do not count as our neighbours. If they are not neighbours, surely we don't need to love them, do we? That's what's implied. So in response, Jesus goes on to tell a parable. Instead of giving a direct answer, he goes into a parable. And as I said in the introduction, this is a parable that is very relevant to Christian Aid Week, and indeed to every aspect of our lives. So what are the parable itself? Well, in the parable, we read that a man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. So it was a perfectly ordinary journey. But we don't know anything about the man, do we? We're not told any details about who the man was. We actually don't know his ethnicity, his beliefs, or his purpose, or anything else about him. We actually don't know, do we? He's just a man. And I think this lack of detail is actually highly relevant to the story, because the man was a man, an individual person made in God's image, a status that was true no matter who he was, no matter what his ethnicity, what his background, what his economic basis was of his journey or anything like that. He was a person. Somewhere along his journey, this man was brutally mugged by robbers and left for dead by the side of the road. So he was there half dead, we're told. And fortunately, people came along. So who were they? Well, first we are told very specifically that the next person to arrive at the scene was a priest. And what do we know about priests at the time? Well, the priests themselves were direct descendants of Aaron, the brother of Moses. And Aaron was the first priest to serve in the tabernacle after the Exodus from Egypt. Only he could go into the presence of God in the most holy part of the tabernacle. And thereafter, only his direct descendants could go into God's presence in the temple that was built once they had settled in Israel. As priests, they were responsible for all the religious functions involved in the various worship ceremonies carried out in the temple, and they were effectively the representatives of the people of Israel in the presence of God through the offering of sacrifices and worship. Theirs was a very crucial role, and one which carried a huge responsibility. And it was also one where you'd have thought that they would have been acutely aware of the need to serve God and the people. But what did this priest do? Did he go up and help the man? Did he give him his solace and his care? No, when he saw the naked, beaten-up man by the side of the road, he passed by on the other side. He ignored the man. Well, fortunately, after he'd gone, another person came along. It seemed to be quite a busy road. So the next man was a Levite. Like Aaron, this man was a member of the tribe of Levi. But unlike Aaron and the priest, he did not number among the direct descendants of Aaron himself. The Levites also served in the temple in ensuring its function and organization, but they were not directly responsible for the religious practices. Nevertheless, their role was critical for the proper functioning of the temple and was religious in purpose to enable the people to worship God. Again, you would have thought that they would be acutely aware of their calling to serve God and the people in love. But what did the Levite do? He passed by. He ignored the seriously injured man and passed by on the other side. Very sad, isn't it? So can we have any sympathy for their actions? Well, they probably did not know if the man was alive or dead. If they touched him and found him to be dead, they would have become ceremonially unclean and been barred from serving in the temple until they had undertaken the prescribed cleansing ceremonies. If he was dead, then there was nothing they could have done for him anyway, so why take the risk? Also, they had no idea who the man was, just as we don't, whether he or not he was a Jew. mean, he could even have been a Gentile. And if he was a Gentile, I believe that they've helped him. They could have gained or compromised their ability to perform their functions without going through the ceremonies of purification. So they ignored him, believing the importance of their respective roles in serving God in the temple were more important than helping an unknown man in dire need of help. Their apparent love for God and their role in the temple seemed to them to outweigh their need to love a man in distress. And that's not an attractive response, is it? So who came along next in the story? Well, Jesus does a very clever thing with this parable, which is not at all surprising given who Jesus was, but he chose a Samaritan to feature next. A Samaritan was much despised by Jews. Samaritans did have a form of God worship, but they did not follow prescribed traditions of the traditional Jewish practices. The Samaritans also occupied land that had formerly belonged to the northern tribes of Israel up until about 722 BC. And that was when the Assyrians conquered the northern tribes and took them off into exile, and they settled the Samaritans there in their place. So the Samaritans were occupying land that should have been Israel in the eyes of the remaining tribes. And the Jews resented the Samaritans as a result. So they had two reasons to despise them. So Jesus chose a character who was very different from the expert who was testing him in his story. In the minds of the Jews, including the expert, a Samaritan was unlikely to do anything good. We are told that when the Samaritan saw the man, he took pity on him. He treated his wounds with oil and wine and bandages, put him on his donkey and led the donkey to an inn. There he nursed the man, but the next day he had to continue on his journey. Did he abandon the man there, thinking, well, I've done my bit? No, he didn't. He actually didn't expect the innkeeper to take on the responsibility. Instead, he retained responsibility by paying the innkeeper 2 silver coins to look after the man on his behalf. That was the equivalent to 2 days' wages. So it was a considerable amount. He then promised to reimburse any additional expense to the innkeeper when he returned. So what was the point of the parable? Jesus asked the expert in the law, which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the expert replied, the one who had mercy on him. He had no choice, did he, but to admit that it was the Samaritan of all people who was the neighbour. In so doing, he also admitted that the representatives of his own religious establishment had not been. That's a big admission, isn't it, on part of that expert? By this exchange, Jesus had turned around the question, who is my neighbour, and replaced it with, to whom should I be a neighbour? So it's no longer who is my neighbour, but to whom should I be a neighbour? The priest and the Levite professed to love God, but did not love their neighbour by being neighbours to the man in need. The Samaritan of all people showed that you cannot love God without loving your neighbour. It was he who fulfilled the law summed up by the expert. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. For Christians, the two parts are absolutely inseparable. You cannot love God without loving your neighbour. Who is my neighbour and to whom should I be a neighbour have the same answer, don't they? The answer is anyone who needs the love of God. And that, of course, means everyone, irrespective of who they are, and indeed whether they're friend or foe, whether they're near or far. After this encounter with Jesus, the expert was told to go and act in the same way as the Samaritan. And I hope that when he left Jesus, he had more expertise in the law of love than when he arrived. And I think he did, because he had been challenged to face up to his own prejudices and realize that there were nothing in the face of God's love. So how do we apply this story to ourselves and to the Christian Aid Week? Well, as Christians, we are all called to love God and our neighbours. We all have gifts and abilities with which we can express this love. As Joshua has said many times before, there is no such thing as an ungifted Christian. And I think some of us find that very hard to believe. But those gifts and abilities really do differ from person to person. But they are all there, every single one of them there, to express God's love. And very importantly, we can express and show God's love for our neighbour by simple acts of kindness in our day-to-day lives. We don't have to do grand things as Christians. We can just do simple acts of kindness. We can visit someone who is unwell or has been bereaved or is in need of comfort. We can pray with someone, as Oliver had said in an answer to a question. We can pray with someone and for someone who is in distress. We can ask after the well-being of someone who you think may be in need and respond to that need. We can give encouragement to someone who has done well. We can forgive someone who has upset us and by approaching them to make peace. Or we can share our faith, the reasons for our faith, to those who ask. These and many more examples are the means by which God builds cohesion between us and our fellow Christians and our communities. They also deepen our relationship with Him. These personal acts of love in the love of God are a fundamental expression of our Christian lives. So let us not underestimate their importance to the health of our church. We can also love our neighbour by supporting the organisation of our church as God gives us the ability. But both our personal acts and any work we do for the church have validity and value in the sight of God. Our role is to respond to God's calling to express His love in whatever way He leads us as individuals. And of course, our neighbours are not limited by any creed, colour, race or name. They can live near us and they can live far away. Janet, who featured in the Christian Aid film, is just as much a neighbour as someone down our road or in our family. If we have the means to help her and others like her, we have an opportunity to do so by supporting the work of Christian Aid to provide the practical help we can't do in person. And we can do this by sponsoring Suzanne in the Kilt Walk, supporting the Christian Aid sale next Saturday, or by making a direct donation. We can support their mission to our global neighbours. We can also lend our support by taking action to reduce our carbon footprint and urging our governments to act more urgently in the fight against climate change, because that is so much affecting so many millions of people across the world. Jesus summed up the law of love in another parable in Matthew, where he told those who loved him, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And Jesus also went on to say, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Truly, we cannot love God without loving our neighbour. May we obey the promptings of our Lord to love him and our neighbour in all the ways that he enables us, both individually and collectively. And by this means, God will build his kingdom here in Kemnay, in Scotland, in Britain, and across the world. Amen.